Good evening. I'm going to ask a couple of people, maybe a few people to read. If I don't pick you, don't be offended or feel left out. If I do pick you, don't be offended or feel left in here. I just want to pick some people I know are comfortable reading, give you a chance to hear someone's voice besides mine. And the first one is Luke 9:23 through 26. Could make this into a sword drill too, I suppose. Mike, are you close to that? Would you mind reading Luke 9:23 through 26? If someone else could, you already lost. Come on. Luke 9:23 through 26. To ask somebody younger to read.
Luke 9, 23 to 26. He said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake, same shall save it. What is a man if a man can gain the whole world?
I'll make a couple of comments about this, and while I am, Tom, would you mind turning to Isaiah 50, and then when I'm done with my short thought, if you could read verses 4 through 7 in Isaiah 50. Could be a test right now, but I'm not going to do that. Luke chapter 9, 23 through 26 there. What are some of the words that come to mind when you think of that? What the main topic there is? Self-denial, maybe? The cross, obviously, is prominent. The cross, though, applied to ourself, right? Discipleship. If you think of discipleship, that's the verses that came to my mind when I was thinking through these, actually looked for these. The thoughts were in my mind. Earlier, wasn't this week, Daryl spoke last Thursday night, did he, on Comfort Zone? Was it last Thursday, only a week ago, or was it? That kind of triggered some thoughts in me about this. And I was putting together the idea of a comfort zone that human beings have in discipleship. And we'll talk a little bit about the relationship between those two. Tom, could you please read for us in Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 7. Thank you. Jason, can you get ready to read Psalm 143, verse 8, please? 143, verse 8. Actually, as I began to think of these thoughts, and many of you have experience too, as you're preparing for a message, or maybe the Lord just laid a little theme on your heart, and you begin to explore a little bit the verses that come to mind, I decided to try to apply that concept of comfort zone. You're not going to find it in the Scriptures, obviously. Trying to apply it not only to myself and us as Christians in general, to see how true it was, but also is how could it apply to the Lord? When I hear a psychological concept, I have a little bit of training in that in my college years. If it seems like a good, solid psychological principle, I see how it stands up to applying to the Lord. And then I often see how superior the Lord is. I see as a man how above he is all the failures and weaknesses that we have, and how his motivations were so much higher and better than ours frequently are. I guess I could say they were always higher and better than ours are. But we'll look at that in terms of the comfort zone and discipleship in just a bit. Tom could probably tell us there. He read from the King James, I think. The tongue of the learned, that learned there, it can also be either instructed or actually discipled. It can actually be discipled, one that's instructed, taught in that context there. I think before I comment further here, I'm going to have Jason read the verses I asked him to read. And while he's going there, if someone, Corey, can I have you turn to Galatians 2:20? Galatians 2:20, Hori, and if Jason could go ahead and read from Psalm 147 there. Okay, so that's David, of course. I'm going to have, are you at Galatians 2:20 yet, Hori? Go ahead then and read that, thanks. Thank you. I actually had about 20 verses here, and in 10 minutes time, obviously, we're not going to get through those. I'm just going to say a couple briefly, maybe if need be, just take a phrase out of a few verses here. If you think of the Lord in Psalm 40, of course, it's David, but that he delighted to do God's will. He delighted to do God's will. If you look at John 4:34, he says it's his meat to do the will of him that sent him, and to finish his work. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 7 says, "Then said I, Lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God." I'm going to hit all the verses that you just read. Tom read from Isaiah 50, verses 4 through 7. And I just already mentioned the instructed one, or the learned one, I guess it says learned, I'm sorry, tongue of the learned, that's the Lord speaking, the Lord God hath given him the tongue of the learned or instructed one. They should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning, he wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned, or learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. When we read Luke chapter 9 there, where Mike read from us, 23 through 26, the Lord talks about taking up our cross daily and following up after him. And to me, that's a very... I'll use the word strict or maybe even harsh summary of true discipleship, isn't it? It's taking up our cross, denying ourselves daily, and following him. And if we're honest, or if we were these men back here, what would we say to such a thing? What do we say to such a thing is, wow, that's extreme, isn't it? It's really extreme to have that kind of request made of us. We can all think of one who felt that he could carry out the responsibilities, the actions, maybe the self-denial if he understood it, in his own power. Who would that be? The example we have in the Gospels is Peter, right? He's an example of actually what each one of us does from time to time, especially as we're younger as believers, that somehow that we're going to be disciples on our own power. Now, there's no teaching right here in Luke of the Holy Spirit's strength, the fruit of the Spirit, to produce the qualities in us that the Lord Jesus wants. And we could probably add discipleship one way or the other there, right? The disciple is instructed to be as his master, the instructor, the discipler. The Lord Jesus was certainly the living proof or living example of the fruit of someone who lived out the fruit of the Spirit. But there's none of that so far here, at least not in Luke. We don't have the nice thoughts so much that we have in John of a living relationship with the Father and being so inspired by that relationship of love that we're able to give of ourselves, maybe sacrifice ourselves. So it seems harsh until we begin to see from a larger standpoint how we can be disciples. How can we do that? I had Jason read from Psalm 143. I know you read the right verse. That was actually verse 8 I had you read, wasn't it, Jason? Yeah, and I wrote down 7, but it was 8. Good. Now I got to turn there. We see some of those secrets, if you want to call it, how the Lord as a man lived out these things too. How did he prepare himself day by day to be that living, it's hard to call him a disciple, but he's certainly an example of being a true disciple, isn't the Lord? He was the discipler, that's a word. He was the discipler of his disciples. But when we read in Psalm 143, verse 8, David, you know, a failing human being like us, he expresses some valuable thoughts here. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Well, the Lord does more than command us, telling us to be disciples and take up our crosses. He certainly has a right to do that. He's Lord. He also does this, right? We're inspired, we're warmed by his loving kindness. And I'm sure David believed in listening to the Lord more than just in the morning. But as it's really simply expressed in this verse here, it's caused me to hear the loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. And what's the result of this? David wants to know the way wherein he should walk. He wants to know. I'm going to add a few thoughts here to David's. We'll give us a New Testament spin or application. He wants to know, how can I follow you? How can I be a true disciple? Now, those are not David's words. We're using this as an example. But it's how is it? It's because inspired, warmed by the love of God, we're able to do that. I'm going to flip over here to Galatians 2:20. One of those 10-minute messages you start looking into and realize it's a pretty good one-hour message. I'm sure with other people's additions it could be a series. Galatians 2:20, we have something real precious there. This verse is often memorized just standing by itself. And, of course, verses occur in context. They aren't just hit and miss. In the Bible, scattered on blank pages, a verse here and a verse there. But we're going to look at it just by itself. I am crucified with Christ. There's a mention of a cross again, right? Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who has loved me and given himself for me. I'm always impressed with this, because we know Paul didn't write just one verse. This isn't just some kind of passionate, enthused verse that Paul says. This is he's learned lots about the Lord already. God's revealed to him great truths of the New Testament principles that we enjoy to this day. And yet, one of the things he can deeply be inspired by and deeply appreciate is simply the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for him. Paul knew he had a purpose to fulfill. He knew he was an apostle to the Gentiles, but he was also inspired very simply by the fact that there's the Son of God loved him and gave himself for me, for him. And I think that goes along with the thought I'm trying to show of what leads to the life of sacrifice and discipleship. Is it simply feeling I'm commanded, I have to take up my cross daily and die and follow the Lord? It's good to remember those things for sure. Sometimes it's kind of good to have that standard there and then compare ourselves to it. And yet the inspiration for it is as we think of the Lord. David's awake early in the morning to feel the loving kindness of God and wants to be instructed. If we could turn real quickly to Luke chapter 4. And if I can't find this as quickly as I'd like, we'll just end here because this is supposed to be a shorter message and a longer prayer time today. So we have in Luke chapter 4, always use the same Bible in your message that you used when you were preparing. The Lord is baptized in this chapter, is he not? He's baptized in chapter 3. Baptized in chapter 3. Yes, I'm sorry. He's baptized in chapter 3. Chapter 4, what happens? The first section of chapter 4, we have he's 40 days tempted or tested of a devil, and he's eating nothing. He's eating nothing. And what's the result? This does not take a lot of huge thought to figure out what one of the results is going to be here. He's hungry. And yet, we have the devil. And of course, at that moment, the devil's asked him, tempts him, command the stone that it be bread. And the Lord really here, to me, acts like a disciple again. He doesn't use his power in any other way but to show that he'll depend on God, he'll believe, he'll trust in the word of God, and he'll obey the word of God. Just that brief illustration here I wanted to share. If we were to look into John chapter 6:38, I'm not going to turn there because I am conscious of the time here. We already read Hebrews 10:7, where I paraphrase it saying that, "Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God." In Psalm 40 we have, "I delight to do thy will." I guess one final phrase I'd like to wrap this up with is, the Lord had a different comfort zone. When we talk about comfort zones, we often include our physical comfort, we include our emotional or mental comfort, and when Daryl brought it up, he wanted us to leave our comfort zone as far as not so much things that are wrong to do, but what about the right things to do I'm not real comfortable doing, but maybe the Lord wants me to do. I would just reflect a little bit on the Lord. What was his comfort zone? His real comfort zone was the will of God. I think you have there someone who's different from us in a large way. The Lord's true comfort zone was simply to do the will of God. Now, he hungered. Luke chapter 4 there, he certainly hungered. It was still more important for him to depend on God than it was, and to obey the word of God than it was to satisfy his hunger. Complete faith in God. He knew that God would feed him. When we read Isaiah 50 there, 4 through 7, it starts out that section starts out with his ear is wakened morning by morning. The result is he can give a word in season to him that is weary. But it goes on as a real proof of his devotion to God. His back is laid bare. We have him going through this terrible punishment, pictures of it there. And yet not even that will stop him from simply wanting to do the will of God. The Lord could see the end of I'm having a hard time expressing myself, but I apologize. He could see what he was aiming for. He could see what the results would be. And the physical pain wasn't going to stop him from doing the will of God. And I want to say this very reverently, but it certainly wasn't a comfort zone for the Lord in any way, shape, or form to go through the terrible grief he did. But he was still most comfortable doing the will of God and completing what he needed to do for us. And that's an inspiration for us. It's an inspiration for us to leave our comfort zone. I'm going to probably get sick of the phrase shortly here, but it's an inspiration for us to be disciples, to follow the Lord in little things and in big things, to see the Lord like that. So he's our inspiration. He's our example as well. So just those few thoughts.